How God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. And He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and
love.
Just one more time. Our God, He's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. We acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge your presence. Power and love. Our God is an awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we acknowledge your presence and we thank you that you are an awesome God. Now, awesome God, we ask that you would speak to us now. Speak through your word so that we can glean and know more of you. You can show us, Lord, what you want us to know and to see. Bless me now as your servant. And bless each and every one under the sound of my voice. Touch us now through your holy word. And we'll be ever so careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, greetings, church, to each and every one of you. So good to see you this morning. And our thanks to CUDA and the worship team for leading us in worship, and it's good to be back. Last week I was away. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are continuing our new series on the fruit of the Spirit. And last week Alan started by looking at love. Love. Now, before we get into the message today, let me just throw this in as by way of a starter, if you will. Now, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes people refer to it and they will say the fruits of the Spirit, plural, because we look at them and we can see love, joy, peace, and patience, and so on. But let me just stay from the outset. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, okay? It is one spiritual fruit. And out of that one fruit, we have nine attributes of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So it is not the fruits of the Spirit. We're not going to the high street and picking up mangoes and pears and oranges. It is one fruit. The Holy Spirit is one fruit that has nine different attributes of that one fruit. Now, last week, Alan talked about love. And this week, I was blessed as I was reading. And many commentators share that the fruit of the Spirit, really in its essence, can be summed up through love. Okay? But out of love, we get the other eight. Does that make sense? So the other eight really is ineffective if we don't have love. So love really is essential to the fruit of the Spirit. Again, in your hearing, I'll read from Galatians chapter 5. From verse number 22, and Paul says to the church in Galatia, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Today I'm asking the question, are joy and peace easier said than done? Friends, it goes without saying, for anyone who has some form of connection to the Christian church or some foundational basis of the Christian faith, the majority, if not all of us here this morning, are familiar with the words joy and peace. I mean, we hear these two words with regularity and consistency from pulpits and lecterns around the world. We hear them in prayer meetings and in house group sessions. joy and peace. And we hear about these words when we read the Holy Scriptures, and we recognize the significance and the importance that every believer should become familiar with joy and with peace. When we pray, we often ask God to give us joy and to give us peace. And not only from a Christian perspective, but even from a secular worldview, humanity throughout the ages have journeyed throughout the course of their lives, seeking and striving towards attaining joy and finding peace in this life. But the question for us this morning is, what does joy and peace really mean? What does joy and peace mean to the world and the society in which we live in today? For some, joy and peace may be life's pursuit and goal to become a millionaire, to own a Lamborghini, and to live in a mansion. And there are people right now who are working extremely hard each day to one day achieve their dream to become a millionaire. Because in their eyes, the success of one's work and the subsequent riches and wealth that one can attain will then only really bring about into fruition the qualities of joy and peace. So for some, money and riches will only bring about joy and peace in life. For others, joy and peace may be the ultimate realization of world peace and harmony across the entire world. That joy and peace can only be recognized once politicians and world leaders can come together and de-escalate threats and the impact of wars and rumors of wars. That joy and peace can only be realized, friends, when the world starts taking better care of itself, taking better care of the environment. So now we have protesters, don't we, lining the streets and spraying paint onto buildings to raise awareness that the world can be a better place in their eyes, better place of joy and peace. Or maybe joy and peace to others maybe just is just the ability to get away for the weekend and enjoy some time in solitude, recuperating from the stress and the pressures of everyday life. However, church, although it's nice to know what people in the world are thinking about joy and peace from the world's perspective, but our series this morning is not entitled the Fruit of the World. Our series is not entitled The Joy and Peace Found in the World. But today we are discussing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not the fruit of humanity or the fruit of human ambition, but the very fruit that we are talking about this morning, church, are attributes that cannot be sought through human will and effort. The fruit of the Spirit are attributes that cannot be downloaded from a Google search with five quick steps to achieve joy and peace in your life. But the very attributes of joy and peace that we're talking about this morning, they are direct deposits from the Holy Spirit of God. The spiritual fruit of the Spirit are not the sum total of our goodness and our power, but they are spiritual fruit, church, and they are born out of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and a relationship of discipleship by growing in the wisdom and knowledge of who God is. So friends, when it comes to understanding the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry to tell you, but you won't find the fruit of the Spirit in your local Sainsbury's. You won't find the fruit of the Spirit in your local Tesco's. You won't find it, the fruit of the Spirit, on sale in the high street. Five for a pound. No. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit can only be understood through a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ and receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5 by the Apostle Paul is presented as one fruit that has nine attributes. And today we're looking at two of those attributes, joy and peace. So since we have established that joy and peace, they come from God, from the Holy Spirit, that they are God-given, they're not man-made, then the next question for us is, what does joy and peace really look like to the Christian believer? Are joy and peace easier said than done? Perhaps some of you are thinking already in the corners of your mind, Nathan, just take a look around us. Tell me what you see. Listen to the news. All you have to do is listen and look at the bills that are piling up on your doorstep. Tell me what is joyous and peaceful about the times in which we are living in today. I mean, can you imagine if I were to take a trip to Ukraine and to preach to those citizens being bombed by the Russian forces and raise the topic of joy and peace? Perhaps some of them would look at me and say, preacher, you are out of touch with reality. And friends, in like manner, if we are not careful, then we can allow the present afflictions and the present circumstances around us to impact our thinking of what we perceive joy and peace to really be. Because in order for us to understand joy and peace, we have to, number one, understand that it is God-given. And in your sermon notes, I want you, if you have a pen, to fill in the blanks of a biblical definition of joy and peace. So first of all, joy, number one, is good pleasure and harmony that is dependent on who Jesus is. Do you get that? Not dependent on who we are. But it is good pleasure and harmony that is dependent on who Jesus is, rather than on who we are or what is happening around us. And secondly, peace is tranquility and harmony and, here it is, security in who God is and His love for us. Do you see the difference, friends? The joy and peace of the Holy Spirit is based on who God is. His being, His power, His strength, and not on ourselves or what is happening around us. It's not based on present day circumstances. So if we are going to understand the full potential of God's joy and God's peace, then let us consider the following 2 points. And the first thing I want to leave with you today, number one, if we are going to understand the Holy Spirit's joy and peace, then number one, we have to place joy and peace in the right hands. Can we say that together? We have to place joy and peace in the right hands. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace. In preparation this week, I heard the Lord speaking very clearly. Tell my people the problem that many might be having is that we are looking for joy and peace in the wrong hands. You're looking for joy and peace, but you're looking in the wrong hands. You see, for example, if you were to give me some paint and some paintbrushes and a canvas, then I will make a mess because I'm not very artistic. But if you were to give some paint and some paintbrushes to Picasso, then he will make a beautiful masterpiece. In like manner, if you were to give me a golf club, then I have absolutely no idea what to do with a golf club because I'm not good at it. But if you give that same golf club to Tiger Woods, then Tiger Woods in his hands will be able to do something beautiful and masterful with that golf club. If you were to give me some cake ingredients, then I can try my best. But you might not would want to eat it. But if you were to give that same cake ingredients to our office manager, Bev, then she would be able to take that cake ingredients and make something beautiful out of the ingredients. Because it all depends on whose hands they are placed in. So we have to be careful with placing the destiny of our joy and our peace in the wrong hands. Because human hands are subject to fail. They will stutter. They will decay. But the hands of the Lord are strong and they are powerful. They are able to handle the ebbs and the flows and the changes of life. And He is able to sustain us through His joy and His peace. So if you were to ask me, Nathan, how are you doing? Then it really depends on whose hands or from what perspective. Because right now, if you ask me, Nathan, how am I doing from a sports perspective, then I will say I'm not doing too well because my team, Liverpool, are in a bad losing streak. You know, me and Phil Town, we often talk, and when we talk, because we're both Liverpool supporters, and we'll talk about ministry and evangelism and the mannerism on our faces are, you know, we're filled with inspiration and joy to be talking about evangelism and serving and doing the work of the Lord. But then recently I've noticed when we talk about Liverpool, the facial expressions, they change. Because it depends on whose hands and what perspective. But it's so important for us to understand, church, that for us to really embrace the Holy Spirit's gift of and the fruit of joy and peace, that we have to recognize that divine joy and peace, they are not self-sufficient. It's not something that we can muster up and maintain on our own. Because life is hard and life is challenging and we're not always going to be in a joyous mood. We're not always going to feel like peaceful. But if we can understand joy and peace from the perspective that it is God-given and it's based on who God is, then you and I can always maintain that fruit of joy and peace in our lives. So number one, it all depends. Do we have it in the right hands? And we will come unstuck, friends, if we're looking for joy and peace in this world. And the good news for all of us is that God's joy and peace, it transcends. It goes beyond all of the earthly challenges and the obstacles that we face. So our challenge this morning on this point, we may become frustrated chasing the aspirations of a joy-filled and peaceful life without looking at the right source. Are we pursuing money and careers? And we know we need money. We know careers are important, and relationships. But we have to recognize that those things, they are not the source of joy and peace, but God is. But finally this morning, we have to not only recognize whose hands it's in, but second and finally, we have to present joy and peace as a daily testimony. Can we say that together? Present joy and peace as a daily testimony. Because the joy and peace given by the Holy Spirit, it's not just for our doing, but they serve as a testimony to the world. The world can be touched and inspired on how the Christian handles hard times in their life. How does the Christian handle setbacks and trials, and yet still can maintain the fruit of joy and peace? I love the example in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Many of you are familiar with the story of King David, that when he took monarchical privileges and got out of line and took Bathsheba, who was not his wife, and he slept with her and she became pregnant, and then he went on to ensure that her husband was killed to try and cover up the sin. And then she became pregnant, baby was born, but then the baby became violently sick. And David went into a period of mourning and praying and fasting. He refused to eat, and every day the servants would come to check on David, and he didn't want to be bothered. He was praying and fasting in a state of sadness, asking God to change the situation and bring healing upon the young child. But God decided that that child would be taken. The child would not make a recovery. And you would think that the sum total of that decision would mean that David would continue his mourning. You would think that now he would just be completely devastated to the point that maybe he would say, you know what, I'm done with being the king of Israel. This is too much for me to handle. I prayed, I fasted, but yet still the child did not recover. But look what happens in 2 Samuel in chapter 12, verse 19. It reads, David noticed that his attendants were whispering among themselves, and he realized that the child was dead. And then he asked the question, look what he says. He says, is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. In verse 20, David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and he worshipped. Hold on a minute. When the child was sick and you were praying for him to recover, you were in a state of mourning. Now the child is dead, and the first thing you do is get up, put some lotion on your face, and you head straight to the temple to give God the praise and the glory. Now, to the world, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to give God praise and glory after what seemingly an answer to prayer was not what you had asked for. But David got up. He ate the food. And in verse 21, his attendants asked him, "Why are you acting like this, David? While the child was alive, you fasted and you wept, you were crying, and now that the child is dead, you get up and you eat. What's going on?" And in verse 22, David answered, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows, the Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I go on fasting? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me." Then David comforted his wife, Bathsheba, and he went to her. He made love to her, and she gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. And the Lord, it says, loved him. I don't know about you, but that greatly encourages me. Because sometimes when we look at what's happening in our lives and we look at what's happening around us, it can give us cause and reason to mourn and to weep and to be sorrowful. But David gives us cause to rejoice, to say, regardless of what's happening around us, regardless of what's happening in my life, when I take a look and think about the Lord and his goodness, and his joy, and his peace, then I have to respond by saying, "Thank you, Lord." Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. So it serves as a testimony, joy and peace, that when the world sees us as Christians and how we respond to bad times and how we respond to trials and how we respond when we're going through, then it serves as a testimony that we are serving a great God. That whatever's going on in our lives, that he will give us joy and he will give us peace that surpasses all human understanding. That's why in my role, when I have the privilege to visit people who are sick, and even recently those who have transitioned from this life, and when I went to visit them, and they still, in it, although physically they're not in a good place, but they could look me in the eye and say, "It is well in my soul." I feel sick in my body. But in my soul, Nathan, it is well. Because I'm going to a place that is not built by human hands. So what can separate me from the love of God? Not cancer, not high blood pressure, not diabetes. Nothing in this life can separate me from God's love, his joy, and his peace. That is the joy, and that is the peace that comes from Almighty God. So in closing this morning, are joy and peace easier said than done? Well, humbly I submit to you this morning that it all depends on whose hands joy and peace is in. If it all depends on our hands, then yes, it will be very difficult. Very, very difficult. But if it all depends on God, if we are looking at joy and peace through the vantage point of who God is, then we can be confident of this, that nothing can ever come between the joy and the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. You see, happiness is based upon mood. But joy is based upon who God is. And all of us can rejoice this morning that we have great assurance in the gospel. And if you don't know who Jesus is this morning, and you've not invited him into your life, then I've got some good news for you today. That Jesus is alive, that he's not dead, and he wants to give you joy, and he wants to give you peace. Will you receive it today? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning that indeed you give us joy and you give us peace. And yes, Lord, we're mindful of the times in which we are living in and the news that we often hear. And yes, everything around us can seem the total opposite of joy and peace. But thank you, Lord, that you have given us a joy and a peace that does not come from this world. A joy and peace that does not come from the government. A joy and peace that does not come from how much money we have in the bank. But thank you that you have given us joy and peace that is based on who you are. And we thank you for it now. And we pray that as we go on throughout the course of this week, whatever comes our way, whether it be good news, bad news, good days or bad days, thank you that we can receive the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit that transcends the present circumstances of this day. And thank you for that peace that indeed surpasses all understanding. Continue to keep us as your children, mindful that you are the God of joy and you are the God of peace. Thank you that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and we can rest assured that there's nothing that can separate us from his love. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. The worship team are coming back.
Leading on from what Nathan was saying about things coming from our soul, that we're not saying it from a physical point of view, we're not looking at it in a material way, but we are telling out to the world from our very soul what the Lord has done for us and what power he has given us to tell our testimony, our story of what God is doing in our lives. So we're going to sing a song that's called Tell Out My Soul. Can't remember the rest of the words. Could you put out the words, please? Tell out the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. So what are you going to be saying? What are you going to voice from your spirit as you go out into this week with all of its challenges, all of its weather forecast and whatever you might be facing? The busyness of the world is coming. But God has empowered us today from this pulpit. And he has empowered us through the songs we have sung to tell a good word, a good story of his joy and his peace. So let us stand up and sing that, and then Nathan will come and give us the blessing before we go. My Savior shall my heart.
Amen. Certainly our thanks to Kuda and the worship team. Just before we leave, please do join us for teas and coffee. Where have I put my... Oh, here we go. I just have a few notices to make just before you leave. Please do take your seats. Please take your seats. Just to let you know, regarding our pastoral team, we met on Friday, and we've made a slight change to the structure in how we currently do things. Before, we had a postcode system, and we divided the members of the church and regular tenders based upon where you live, and we had a postcode system to do cover pastoral care. But we're making some changes to how we do things, and now we're going to adopt more of a body care system. And I want to just call to your attention, for those of you who don't know, who the members of the pastoral team are. So we have Doris Thompson. Please stand up, Doris, so people can see you. Julie Stride, if you're here. Julie, where's Julie? Upstairs. Julie Stride upstairs. Paul Blake. Mona Scarsbrook. Diane Cole. She's with the children upstairs. Miles Atwell. And Lydia Blake. Okay, these wonderful people, along with myself, we serve on the pastoral team, and we're here to serve you, okay? So please, if there is a need for prayer, if you need some support, please do contact one of these beautiful members of the pastoral team, and we'll be delighted to serve you. We're still providing care to groups and those who our pastoral team who are caring for people on an ongoing basis, so you'll still be covered, but we're just doing some changes to how we do things. It's more going to be collective rather than individual postcodes, okay? Does that make sense? Okay, the second thing, very quickly, you'll see in your sermon notes that we're having a new members and newcomers group. We're having a social and a fellowship, which is taking place on Saturday, the 12th of November. So if you're here today and you've recently been attending our church, please, you'll be more than welcome to come just to get to know me and some of the other leaders a little bit better, and you can ask some questions and get to know more about the life of the church. So that's for if you're a new member of the church, you've recently become a new member, or if you're a newcomer to the church, or if you've recently been baptized, you are more than welcome to come. Third and finally, if you are interested, if there's anyone here, for parents with children, if you are interested in learning about the drums, if you have a child who's interested in learning about the drums, please, after the service, please come and speak to me. I want to get some information. A couple of weeks ago, I had some talks with some about interest in drumming. I'm praying in the next year or so, I want to retire from drumming. That's what I want to do. Yes, I want to retire. I'm going to retire, Lord's willing. And I want to train up some able drummers who can drum. Some weeks the drums is just dormant, and we want to have some drummers. So please come and speak to me, parents, young people. You don't have to be young, whatever age you are. If you want to learn the drums, then please come and speak to me, and we're going to arrange for some drumming lessons before the end of the year. That is it. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Let's pray. And again, thank you. Join us for teas and refreshments in the lounge. Father, we thank you so much for everything that has been shared today. Thank you that you are the God of joy and you are the God of peace. And thank you now that as we leave this place, but never from your presence, we can continue to live our lives each day in recognition of your joy and your peace. So as we leave this place now, but never from your presence, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now, evermore. Amen. 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 God bless you all. God bless you.